I want to talk about the secret of effectual prayer. Christ speaking said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Within this verse, there are clues to how it works. We're going to be looking at it in generalities, but I think it's best to, when we take this verse by itself, to consider it an aphorism. An aphorism means a true saying that is not always true, and therefore not absolutely true. You would be rather hard-pressed, I think, to claim that what things soever you desire, you just pray and you'll get it. Now, that will happen, can happen, but it doesn't always happen. As I said, within the passage Christ is talking about, if you have the faith, you can remove mountains. And within this, this emphasis, believe that you receive them. There's something in there that makes this work. But let's attach ourselves to this true thing. Do, when we pray what we desire, does it always happen? No. We remember the Apostle Paul's desire in prayer, 2 Corinthians 12, 7-9. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." What was his desire? That he wouldn't have this thorn in the flesh anymore. "And he said unto me, no. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will," and his response, "most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He says, "I found out that this thing that I wanted gone was a gift of God." It was a little bumper on my car life that kept me from doing damage, to becoming absurdly proud, out of bounds proud with how God had shared revelation to him. Yet he was merely man, but we can remember our Lord Jesus Christ praying his desire in the garden. Luke 22:42, saying, "Lord, if thou be willing, remove." The Greek here, the King James margin says, "if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done." He's contrasting, is he not, God's will with his will. If there's any difference, we'll go with your will. But his will, his desire, was that it depart at that moment. Let me give you another example of an aphorism in the scripture. Proverbs 3:1-2. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And then here's the promise. "For length of days and long life," the Hebrew here, "for days and years of life and peace, shall they," my laws and commandments, "add to thee." Now again, technically this does not promise a long life if you define it as 80 plus years. That's not what it says, is it? But that's what it seems to be talking about. Adding to you. What it actually says is adding. It does promise to add days and years. And that, you know, you may not have lived as long as you have, even though your life may be shorter than others. You may not have lived as long as you do, you are living, if you had not done this. So what I want you to take from this is that even on the surface, these things are true. They are generally, for Proverbs here, the life lived in obedience to God's ways is a long, peaceful life. But every righteous person may not have a long and peaceful life. We remember Sarah Kopp. Sweet, godly lady. Often, a life of rebellion cuts a person's life short. But shortness of life is not a judgment for neglecting God's laws and commandments. Not always true, see. I remember the baby my wife and I had. We lost it before it was properly born. Hadn't done anything wrong. Hadn't neglected any commandments. So, coming back to Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, this is that desire that Pastor Porter is dealing with in Colossians, what the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Colossians, this desire, and it means to desire, sometimes translated to beg and ask and call for, that type of thing. Whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So, Christ's promise here is true. I don't want to undermine that. I don't want to overstate it, but I don't want to undermine it. We understand it to be generally true. It is usually true. But we leave room for God to have another specific plan for us. Normally, living a godly life gives us long life, but there were many martyrs that was not his will for. For us, for the Apostle Paul, normally he loves to give us, when he can, the desires of our heart. But not always, because sometimes he has another plan. So, coming to the passage then, let's notice the five components of Christ's promise. Number one, desire, want. Buddha came up with his complicated, hugely complicated system of religion because he decided that desire was the thing that was wrong with the world, with humanity, that everything went wrong because we desired. So we have to give up desiring. God says, well, no, I put desires within you, not the sinful desires, not the desires more than what you ought to have, but desire. So he says, what things soever ye desire. What things soever, actually is like what all possible, putting it together. The word desire means to ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, desire, or require. So anything that fits in that realm. The Old Testament saints understood this. This was the New Testament word, but Psalm 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. You remember the scripture tells us that if we know he hears us, if he hears us, then we know we have it. So this hearing is an answering. Psalm 21, verse 2, thou hast given him his heart's desire, hast not withholden the request of his lips. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I think this is a key, is when your desires start imitating God, that God is happy to give you your desires. It's when your desires are in opposition to his desires. He can't, in good conscience, he can't give you what you ask for. Psalm 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Fulfill the desires. And then in Proverbs 10:24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. That fear was put there by God. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So again, all of these speak of this aphorism, this basic truth, this general truth, that when God can, he gives us the desires of our heart. It's like you with your children. You don't find out what they want so that you can keep this from them. But from time to time, their desires are not healthy, they're not wise, they're not within the realm of your family's possibilities. We remember Daniel praying for his desire at the time when his life depended on it. The rest of the wise men's lives depended upon it. He wanted to understand Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel 2:23, after God had revealed this to him by a dream, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. He had a group prayer meeting, didn't he? Called in his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. It was revealed. So, number one, desire. Let us not be ashamed that we want something. We can be content with what we have, is that right? But it's not wrong to desire, not wrong to wish that we had more. But number two, built into this, is pray. When ye pray, we must turn our desire into prayer. We're not to rest on wishes alone. Put it into words. One of the safeties about that is if we go to God with our desire, we're more likely to check it out to see if that's a godly thing. Right? I'm not going to ask him for that. Also, as we ask, we want to ask the question to ourselves, why do I want this? What's going on here? Because James tells us that we're going to consume it on our own lust, and he's not going to answer that, see? The third characteristic is belief. Belief. He says believe. The word believe means to entrust a thing to one. I give you a precious thing, and I say, I want you to keep that for me. I believe you. I believe in you. I entrust a thing to you. So it is to lay it in God's hands, to trust him with it. Now, I find that to be pretty satisfying because I don't want my desire if it's going to be bad for me. I don't want my desire if it's going to be bad for my family, bad for my church, whatever. But, you know, my understanding of things and how they're going to work out, that's so limited, that I'll just lay that wish, that desire, in prayer at his feet and say, if you will. So it's this entrusting a thing to him and then leaving it alone. The world always tells us, seek the desire and then work to get it done. Well, of course, we're asking for something that we're not able to get done. That's why we ask God for it. So we believe. Then number four, reception. That ye receive them. The believing here is entrusting it to God to give it to us. Believe that you receive them. This word that is the Greek hoti. And that's a powerful word, meaning for the purpose that. You are believing, you're entrusting this to God for the purpose that you receive it. And this word receive, one of those interesting words that hard for us to understand from English standpoint, but it can mean take or receive. One way or the other, it ends up in your hand, you see, whether you take it or receive it. And he says, in this prayer, you're entrusting it to God, believing that this is how you'll get your hands on it. Believe you receive it. Believe you take it. You've got that answer within you. And then the end of the promise is having. Ye shall have them. The phrase, ye shall have them, a future verb, but it means literally, it shall be to you. It's just a form of the verb to be. The idea here is that as you have this desire of something, and you entrust it to God, that you picture him giving it to you, you taking it in your hand, now that picture is there for it to appear to you, that it happens, it shall be to you. So as we apply this to our desire for powerful intercessory prayer, imagine this. It shows us that we must ask God for this. We must entrust him with it, and then by faith picture our receiving of it, and it will exist for us. You can become that prayer warrior that you wish you were. All right, have I been too back and forth, contradictory, complicated? You get it? Comments, questions then?